Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the Gospel of John. And I don't want to go through this too many times with you, but I do want to emphasize again the important truth that when we read the Word of God, each book will speak to us in a certain way. It will either tell us something about history, something about prophecy, something about our Christian lives. In some way, God's Word will speak to us. Every part of the Bible is the Word of God. It was not the words of men, but God was telling men what to write down, no matter what it might be, history or otherwise. And so now we've come to the Gospel of John, and the reason we're spending so much time in this Gospel is because it's telling us concerning two very important themes. First of all, the theme of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize this again and again to you. If Jesus is not God, then we have no Savior. Because a mere man, even a superman, so to speak, to use that phrase, or the greatest teacher in the world, or the greatest example in the world, could not save us from our sins. It had to be God sending down God the Son, coming from the presence of the Father, coming down to this earth, being willing to be born in human form, and being willing to live his life, proving himself by his works and so forth, and his teachings, and then dying on the cross for our sins. And he's offering himself for the sins of the world, so that my sins, by his shed blood, his death on the cross, my sins were laid on him there. And so this teaching is very, very important. The second teaching in the Gospel of John is this teaching concerning salvation. And this is something, again, repeated again and again. The first teaching was repeated all through the Gospel of John. In the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it was continually repeated. And the second teaching is also repeated again and again, that Jesus is the only means of our salvation. In other words, there is no other person. It's not my church, your church, or anybody else's church. It's not some form we go through, our ordinances in our churches, or sacraments in your church. It's not some person we might seek to pray to. Those people themselves needed the Lord Jesus as their Savior from sin. No use praying to them, because they are simply sinners saved by the grace of God themselves. And so the Lord Jesus is clearly teaching, and the Gospel of John is clearly teaching throughout the book that Jesus is the way to heaven, and we must come to him by faith. Now, as we've gone through this Gospel of John, we've covered some of the periods of time during his ministry. We thought, for instance, of the period of consideration, when people were not yet making up their minds, but they were considering whether or not they were going to do anything with the Lord Jesus. Then we talked about the coming controversy, where people were beginning to say, we're not sure of these teachings. We're not sure we can trust them. We don't know who you are, and we're not willing to trust you. Then we come to the time of conflict, where people are beginning to be in conflict with the Lord. They're actually opposing him now. Then we come to the time of crisis. They've already decided they're not going to receive him. And so now there's a crisis here. A few are believing, but most are not believing. The disciples are believing. A few of the rulers of the Jews are believing. Some of the populace may be believing, but most of the people now are opposing him. They want to kill him. And now the Lord Jesus has retired with his disciples. He's retired to a quiet place with them. And he wants to have a final conference with them before he goes to the cross. We noted before that when he begins this conference, he begins at probably around 6 o'clock the night before he died. There are about 15 hours before he would die on the cross, before he would be nailed to the cross. He would die some hours later, of course. But he would be nailed to the cross some 15 hours after this conference begins with supper. And then when he goes out in chapter 15, out into the night with them, he's going to continue his teaching. First of all, he teaches in the upper room where he's privately meeting with them. He's teaching them concerning servanthood in chapter 13. And then he begins his teachings on the Christian life, how they're to live their lives and so forth in chapter 14. But in chapter 15 now, they've gone out into the night. And very slowly, as they proceed through the night towards the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to pray and then be betrayed, the Lord Jesus is continuing his teachings of them. Now, we've been talking in the last message about some of his instructions concerning the daily Christian life. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again with you. Our daily Christian lives are very important to the Lord. In other words, it's not simply a matter of knowing Him as our Savior. We are to walk with Him. We're to love Him. We're to follow Him with all our hearts. In other words, He wants true Christians, not only those who believe in Him or say they believe in Him, but those who prove it by the way they live close to Him and the way they follow Him with all their hearts and the way they obey Him. So the Lord Jesus, in John 15, 1-10, for instance, talks to us about five principles for the daily Christian life. And perhaps you're taking notes, and you can just write these down. Verses 1-3, keeping our hearts clean daily before God. Confessing our sins, asking God for forgiveness for little things that we've thought, we've said, we've felt, our motivations may have been wrong, and so forth. We confess these daily to the Lord. The second thing in verse 3 was we're to have the place of God's Word in our lives. And I talked about this in our previous message, the place of God's Word in our lives daily. We have time for everything else. We need to have time for God's Word in our lives. It's through His Word that we're going to grow in the Christian life. Now, the third thing, and I want to begin with this today, the third thing that we need to note is our daily walk with the Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus says, abide in me. And what He's saying is, live in me and I in you. In other words, walk in closest fellowship with me. Now, how can I walk in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Number one, I love Him with all my heart. I owe Him something. In other words, when I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I don't simply put Him behind my back and forget about Him. No, I love Him day by day. I appreciate what He's done for me. I'm deeply thankful for what He's done for me. And so I love Him and I thank Him in my heart. This should be a daily thing that I do in my life. It's a humbling thing to recognize that I totally depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is the one who sacrificed Himself for me. I owe Him everything. My life, in fact, belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? And then this phrase, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. What a wonderful truth that is. I belong to the Lord Jesus. So in this passage, the Lord Jesus speaks of living in Him. So I love Him. I thank Him. I praise Him. I exalt Him with my life. I devote myself more completely to Him daily. As I'm drawing nearer to Him, and I'm thanking Him and praising Him and dedicating my life afresh to Him. So this is also a very important truth for our life. So as we walk through our daily Christian lives, we never forget that we owe the Lord Jesus our lives. We owe Him everything about us, and we never should forget Him. Now in verse 7, He speaks of our daily prayer life before the Lord. The Lord speaks of the daily results that come through prayer when we are walking in close relationship with Him. Some people wonder why God doesn't seem to answer their prayers. And the question would be, are you walking in close relationship with the Lord? For instance, Psalm chapter 66, verse 18. Let me get the psalm straight here. Chapter 66, verse 18 of the Psalms says, if I have iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear. But I think in this passage, the Lord Jesus is prefacing this promise of prayer in verse 7 with this idea of, if you live in me and my words live in you, in other words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. So it's our relationship with the Lord that guarantees that the Father is listening to us, not only that our hearts are clean, we're not having sin in our lives hindering our fellowship with Him, but also that we're walking close with the Lord Jesus. And so when He speaks of the daily results in our prayer, He is promising us great things, that we can get results through our prayer. Now this passage builds upon John 14, verses 13 and 14. It adds this important condition in living close to the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now this fellowship in prayer is very, very important. And there are going to be results in our lives when we have this prayer in our lives. And so it's very, very important the way we do it. And so prayer is very important. We have needs in our lives. And of course, we don't just only pray for the answering of our needs. We also pray with thanksgiving to God. What has He done for us? What do we owe Him? How has He blessed our lives? How has He worked out past problems in our lives and so forth? Then we come to Him with needs and we lay these before the Lord. And the Lord very tenderly hears our prayer and He answers our prayer. Now the last of the things that's in this passage, verses 1 to 10, is obedience to the Word of God. Now there are many passages that emphasize this important truth. We notice, for instance, in chapter 14, that this had been discussed, the subject of obedience to His Word. Chapter 14, verse 21, chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. And so this obedience to His Word, in chapter 14, the Lord makes a test of their love for Him. In other words, if you love Me, keep My commandments, the Lord Jesus says in those passages. Then in John chapter 15, verse 10, obedience to His Word is a main factor in whether or not a person is really living in the Lord Jesus. In other words, we may say that we're living in Him in salvation, but are we really walking with Him daily? And so obedience to His Word would be one of the results of walking with the Lord Jesus. We will not purposely disobey Him in any possible way. We walk in right relationship with Him and in close fellowship with Him. And then again, the Lord emphasizes His own teaching to them. But His command would include, of course, the entire Word of God. So when I read any part of God's Word, I obey what it teaches me. I apply it correctly, of course. Sometimes we will pick out a verse and we misapply the verse that we're picking out of the Scriptures. We don't do that with God's Word. We apply it correctly. But when we correctly understand what the Bible is teaching us concerning our lives, concerning our actions, concerning our walk with the Lord, concerning our work for Him, whatever, when we clearly understand this Word of God, then we obey it. We do not consciously disobey anything. So this matter of obedience is very, very important for the Christian life. Now, as the Lord Jesus emphasizes his own teaching to them, He also is indicating that open disobedience would question even their salvation. I think 1 John chapter 2 again is emphasizing the same truth, that when we read God's Word and we follow God's Word and we follow His commandments, this is one of the proofs of our salvation. In other words, people say they are saved. This is what 1 John is speaking of. They say they are saved, but the real proof of it is when obedience is present in their lives. Now, I want to continue this study of this conference period of the ministry of the Lord Jesus with you. We're just barely begun in chapter 15. We've gone down to verse 10. And I want to continue this in another message. But I want to emphasize to you again the importance of your saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. Remember, it's not a matter of someone else. It's not a matter of your good works. It's not a matter of your church. It's a matter of your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. And so in your hearts, you can simply lift your hearts to the Lord now, even as you listen to the radio, if you've never been saved. And simply say to the Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sin before You. I'm asking You now to come into my life and to save me from my sins. And the Lord Jesus will hear your prayer if you really pray it from your heart. And then, having trusted Him, you would devote your lives to loving Him and following Him with all your hearts. And may the Lord help you, each one, to be that person God wants you to be, first of all in saving relationship with Him, and then in following Him. May the Lord bless you, each one.